The fifth box showed oil being used as a weapon to control the international economy. I saw images of Mecca and then of the Saudi people. While these images streamed before me, a telepathic voice said that oil production was being cut off to destroy America TMS economy, 36, and to milk money from the world economy. The price of oil was going up and up, said the voice, and Saudi Arabia was making an alliance with Syria and China. I could see Arab and Oriental people shaking hands and making deals. As these images came to me, I could sense money being given by the Saudis to Asian countries like North Korea, all in the hopes of destabilizing the economy of the Asian region. I wondered where this alliance began, and I was able to see a close-up of Syrians and Chinese signing papers and shaking hands in a building that I knew was in Syria. The date that came to me was 1992. Another date came to me a 1993A, and with it came images of Syrian and Chinese scientists working in laboratories to develop a missile that could deliver chemical and biological weapons. Nuclear weapons were becoming things of the past, and these countries wanted to develop new weapons of destruction. The boxes kept coming. Box 6, Visions of Nuclear Destruction, number 6 was terrifying. I was drawn into the box and found myself in a cool, forested area beside a river. Next to the river was a massive cement structure, square and foreboding. I was fearful and did not TMT know why. Suddenly the earth shook and the top of this cement structure exploded. I knew it was a nuclear explosion and could sense hundreds of people dying around me as it, 37, took place. The year 1986 was given to me through telepathy, as was the word wormwood. It wasn't TMT until a decade later, when the Chernobyl nuclear plant exploded near Kiev in the Soviet Union, that I was able to associate these pictures with an event. It was then that I made another connection between the vision in this box and the nuclear disaster in the USSR. The word Chernobyl means AU wormwood in Russian. A second nuclear accident appeared in the box, this in a northern sea so badly polluted that no ships would travel there. The water was a pale red and was covered with dead or dying fish. Around the water were peaks and valleys that made me think I was seeing a fjord like those in Norway. I couldn't TMT tell where this was, but I knew that the world was frightened at what had happened, because radiation from this accident could spread everywhere and affect all of humankind. The date on the picture was 1995. The vision didn't TMT stop there. People were dying and deformed as a result of these nuclear catastrophes. In a series of what seemed like television pictures, I saw cancer victims and mutated babies in Russia, Norway, Sweden, and Finland, not hundreds or thousands of people, but tens of thousands, in a vast tray of deformity, going on through generations. The poisons released by these accidents were carried to the rest of the world through water, which was tainted forever by this nuclear waste. The being made it clear that humans had created a horrible power that had not been contained. By letting this power out of their control, their, 38, Soviets had destroyed their own country and possibly the world. The box showed me the fear in people's TMS hearts that resulted from these nuclear accidents. As the images of this fear unfolded, I somehow understood that environmentalism would emerge as the world a TMS new religion. People would consider a clean environment a key to salvation more than they ever had before. Political parties would spring up around the issue of a cleaner planet, and political fortunes would be made or broken based upon feelings about the environment. From Chernobyl and this second accident, I could see that the Soviet Union would wither and die, with the Soviet people losing faith in their government and the government losing its grip on the people. The economy played a strong role in these visions. I saw people carrying bags of money into stores and coming out with small bags of goods. People with military uniforms wandered the streets in Soviet cities begging for food, some obviously starving to death. People ate rotten potatoes and apples, and crowds rioted to get at trucks filled with food. The word Georgia appeared in a Cyrillic script, and I could see a mafia developing in Moscow that I assume came from the state of Georgia in the Soviet Union. This mafia was a growing power that was in competition with the Soviet government. In scene after scene, I saw mafia members operating freely in a city that I think was Moscow. 39. I felt no joy as I watched the Soviet Union collapse. Although Soviet-style communism was dying right before my eyes, the being of light was saying that this was a cautious moment instead of a glorious one. Ayo, watch the Soviet Union, eh, he said. Ayo, how the Russian people go, so goes the world. What happens to Russia is the basis for everything that will happen to the economy of the free world. A box 7. The environmental our religion. The seventh box held powerful images of environmental destruction. I could see areas of the world radiating energy, glowing like a radium watch face in the dark. Telepathically I could hear voices speaking of the need to clean up the environment. These voices came out of Russia at first, but then the accents changed and I could tell that they were emanating from South America, probably from Uruguay or Paraguay. I saw the speaker from Russia as he talked with zeal about our need to heal the environment. People rallied around him quickly, and he soon became so powerful that he was elected one of the leaders of the United Nations. I saw this Russian riding on a white horse, and I knew that his rise would come before the year 2000. 40. Boxes 8 and 9. China battles Russia. In boxes 8 and 9 were visions of China TMS growing anger toward the Soviet Union. When these visions took place in 1975, I didn't TMT know that the Soviet Union would break up. Now I think the tension I saw in that vision was a result of the death of Soviet communism, which left the Chinese the leaders of the communist world. At the time, the visions were a puzzle to me. I saw border disputes and heavy fighting between Soviet and Chinese armies. Finally, the Chinese amassed their armies at the border and pushed into the region. The main battle was over a railroad, which the Chinese took in heavy fighting. They then pushed deep into the Soviet Union, cutting the country in half and taking over the oil fields of Siberia. I saw snow, blood, and oil and knew that the loss of life had been heavy. Boxes 10 and 11, economic earthquakes, desert, storm. Boxes 10 and 11 came in rapid succession. They revealed scenes of the economic collapse of the world. In general terms, these visions showed a world in horrible turmoil by the turn of the century, one that resulted in a new world order that was truly one of feudalism and strife. In one of the visions, people lined up to take money out of banks. In another, the banks were being closed by, 41, the government. The voice that accompanied the visions told me that this would take place in the 90s and would be the beginning of an economic strife that would lead to the bankruptcy of America by the year 2000. The box showed images of dollar signs flying by as people pumped gas and looked distressed. I knew this meant that oil prices were accelerating out of control. I saw 13 new nations entering the world market in the late 90s. These were nations with manufacturing capabilities that put them on a competitive footing with the United States. One by one, our European markets began to give their business to these countries, which slowed our economy even more. All of this led to a greatly weakened economy. But the end of America as a world power came as visions of two horrendous earthquakes in which buildings were swaying and toppling over like a child TMS wooden blocks. I knew that these quakes happened sometime before the end of the century, but I couldn't TMT tell where they took place. I do remember seeing a large body of water that was probably a river. The cost of rebuilding these destroyed cities would be the final straw for our government, now so financially broken that it would hardly be able to keep itself alive. The voice in the vision told me that it would be this way while the images from the box showed Americans starving and lined up for food. At the tail end of box 10 came images of warfare in the desert, a massive show of military might. I saw armies racing toward one another in the desert, with great, 42, clouds of dust billowing from the treads of tanks as they crossed the barren ground. There was cannon fury and explosions that looked like lightning. The earth shook and then there was silence. Like a bird, I flew over acres of destroyed army equipment. As I left the box, the date 1990 came into my head. That was the year of Desert Storm. the military operation that squashed the army of Iraq for occupying Kuwait. Box 11 began with Iran and Iraq in possession of nuclear and chemical weapons. Included in this arsenal was a submarine loaded with nuclear missiles. The year, said a voice in the vision, was 1993. I saw this submarine powering through the waters of the Middle East, piloted by people I knew to be Iranians. I could tell that their purpose was to stop the shipping of oil from the Middle East. They were so praiseful of God in their speech that I had the sense that this was some kind of religious mission. The missiles that occupied the desert of the Middle East were equipped with chemical warheads. I don't yet know where they were aimed, but I do know that there was worldwide fear of the intentions of the Arab nations that had them. Chemical warfare played a role in a horrible vision of terrorism that takes place in France before 2000. It begins when the French publish a book that infuriates the Arab world. I don't yet know the title of this book, but the result of its publication is a chemical attack by Arabs on a city in France. A chemical is put into the water supply, and thousands drink it and die before it can be eliminated. 43. In one brief vision I saw Egyptians rioting in the streets while a voice told me that by 1997, Egypt would collapse as a democracy and be taken over by religious fanatics. The final visions from Box 11 were like many images we now see of Sarajevo, modern cities crumbling beneath the weight of warfare, their inhabitants fighting one another for reasons ranging from racism to religious conflict. I saw many towns worldwide where desperate citizens were eating their own dead. In one such scene, Europeans in a hilly region of the world were weeping as they cooked human meat. In rapid succession I saw people of all five races eating their fellow humans. Box 12, Technology and Virus. The 11th box was gone and I was into the 12th box. Its visions addressed an important event in the distant future. The decade of the 90s, remember, this was 1975, when many of the great changes would take place. In this box I watched as a biological engineer from the Middle East found a way to alter DNA and create a biological virus that would be used in the manufacture of computer chips. This discovery allowed for huge strides in science and technology. Japan, China, and other countries of the Pacific Rim experienced boom times as a result of this discovery and became powers of incredible, 44, magnitude. Computer chips produced from this process found their way into virtually every form of technology, from cars and airplanes to vacuum cleaners and blenders. Before the turn of the century, this man was among the richest in the world, so rich that he had a stranglehold on the world economy. Still the world welcomed him, since the computer chips he had designed somehow put the world on an even keel. Gradually he succumbed to his own power. He began to think of himself as a deity and insisted on greater control of the world. With that extra control, he began to rule the world. His method of rule was unique. Everyone in the world was mandated by law to have one of his computer chips inserted underneath his or her skin. This chip contained all of an individual TMS personal information. If a government agency wanted to know something, all it had to do was scan your chip with a special device. By doing so, it could discover everything about you, from where you worked and lived to your medical records and even what kind of illnesses you might get in the future. There was an even more sinister side to this chip. A persona TMS lifetime could be limited by programming this chip to dissolve and kill him with the viral substance it was made from. Lifetimes were controlled like this to avoid the cost that growing old places on the government. It was also used as a means of eliminating people with chronic illnesses that put a drain on the medical system. 45. People who refused to have chips implanted in their bodies roamed as outcasts. They could not be employed and were denied government services. The final visions, at the very end came a 13th vision. I don't yet know where it came from. I didn't yet see a being of light bring it forward in a box, nor did I see one take it away. This vision was in many ways the most important of all because it summed up everything I had seen in the 12 boxes. Through telepathy I could hear a being say, "Ayo, if you follow what you have been taught and keep living the same way you have lived the last 30 years, All of this will surely be upon you. If you change, you can avoid the coming war. A scenes from a horrible world war accompanied this message. As the visions appeared on the screen, the being told me that the years 1994 through 1996 were critical ones in determining whether this war would break out. Ayo, if you follow this dogma, the world by the year 2004 will not be the same one you now know, I said the being. Ayo, but it can still be changed and you can help change it. A scenes from World War III came to life before me. I was in 100 places at once, from deserts to forests, and saw a world filled with fighting and chaos. Somehow it was clear that this final war, an Armageddon if you will, was caused by fear. In one of the most puzzling, 46, visions of all, I saw an army of women in black robes and veils marching through a European city. Ayo, the fear these people are feeling is an unnecessary one, I said the being of light. Ayo, but it is a fear so great that humans will give up all freedoms in the name of safety. I also saw scenes that were not of war, including many visions of natural disasters. In parts of the world that had once been fertile with wheat and corn, I saw parched desert and furrowed fields that farmers had given up on. In other parts of the world, torrential rainstorms had gouged out the earth, eating away topsoil and creating rivers of thick, dark mud. People were starving in this vision. They were begging for food on the streets, holding out bowls and cups and even their hands in hopes that someone or something would offer them a scrap to eat. In some of the pictures, people had given up or were too weak to beg and were curled on the ground waiting for the gift of death. I saw civil wars breaking out in Central and South America and the rise of socialist governments in all of these countries before the year 2000. As these wars intensified, millions of refugees streamed across the U.S. border, looking for a new life in North America. Nothing we did could stop these immigrants. They were driven by fear of death and loss of confidence in God. I saw millions of people streaming north out of El Salvador and Nicaragua, and more millions crossing the Rio Grande into Texas. There were so many of them, 47, that we had to line the border with troops and force them back across the river. The Mexican economy was broken by these refugees and collapsed under the strain. As these visions ended, I had the amazing realization that these beings were desperately trying to help us, not because we were such good guys, but because without us advancing spiritually here on Earth, they could not become successful in their world. Ayo, you humans are truly the heroes, a being told me. Ayo, those who go to Earth are heroes and heroines, because you are doing something that no other spiritual beings have the courage to do. You have gone to Earth to co-create with God. As I was presented with each of these boxes, my mind pondered the same questions, over and over: why is this happening to me? What are these scenes in the boxes and why are they being shown to me? I didn't EMT know what was going on, and despite the seemingly infinite knowledge that I had been given earlier, I was unable to find the answers to those questions. I was seeing the future and I didn't EMT know why. After the final visions, the 13th being of light answered my questions. He was more powerful than the others, or at least I assume he was. His colors were more intense, and the other beings seemed to defer to him. His personality was conveyed in his light and encompassed the emotions of his fellow beings. Without words, he told me that everything I had just seen was in the future, but not necessarily cast in stone. Ayo, the flow of human events can be changed. But first, 48, people have to know what they are, I said the being. He communicated to me again their belief that humans were great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings. Ayo, we here see everyone who goes to the earth as great adventurers, Ayo, he said. Ayo, you had the courage to go and expand your life and take your place in the great adventure that God created known as the world. He then told me my purpose on earth. Ayo, you are there to create spiritualistic capitalism, Ayo, he said. Ayo, you are to engage this coming system by changing people's TMS thought processes. Show people how to rely on their spiritual selves instead of the government and churches. Religion is fine, but don't you let people be entirely controlled by it. Humans are mighty spiritual beings. All they need to realize is that love is treating others the way they themselves want to be treated. Day then the being let me know what I was supposed to do back on Earth. I was to create centers where people could come to reduce stress in their lives. Through this reduction of stress, said the being, humans would come to realize, as we do, that they are higher spiritual beings. They would become less fearful and more loving of their fellow man. I then saw a vision of 7 rooms, each a step in the process. I sense a therapy room, in which people come together and talk to each other. I sense a massage clinic, where people are not only massaged, but they massage others. 49. I sense a sensory deprivation chamber, which is some kind of chamber that allows people to relax and go deep within themselves. I sense a room equipped with biofeedback machines that lets people see the extent to which they can control their emotions. I sense an area for readings that allows those with psychic abilities to provide patients with personal insights. I sense a room with a bed whose musical components relax a person so deeply that he can actually leave his body. I sense a reflection chamber made of polished steel or copper on the inside and shaped in such a way that the person inside can't see his own reflection. I envision the walls as being made of polished stainless steel, but I didn't understand the purpose of this chamber. An 8th component of the process is when the person goes back to the room with the bed and he is once again connected to the biofeedback instruments. As the person enters a deep stage of relaxation, he is guided to a spiritual realm. The biofeedback instruments help him realize the feelings required to reach those states of deep relaxation. The purpose of all of these rooms is to show people that they can be in control of their lives through God. I said the being. 50. I now know that each of these rooms represents a modern form of an ancient oracle, the temples of spirit and mystery that were popular in ancient Greece. For instance, what takes place in the bed is similar to the dream incubation that took place in the temple of Asclepios. The reading area represents the temple of Apollo at Delphi, where people used to talk to spirits. The reflection chamber is the Necromantium Avifera, where the ancients went to see apparitions of their departed loved ones. I didn't discover this until many years later, when Dr. Raymond Moody, who has a doctorate in philosophy as well as an MD, noticed a relationship between these rooms and the oracles. How was I supposed to build these modern-day oracles? I was told by the being not to worry, that the components for all of these rooms would come to me, and as they came to me, I would put them in place. How can this be? I thought. I don't yet know anything about this stuff. I know a little about meditation because I used to do that when I took karate as a kid. But I certainly don't yet know enough about these things to build this kind of facility. Don't yet worry, I said the being. It will come to you. The being called these places AS centers. He told me that it would be my mission on Earth to create them. Then he told me it was time to go back to Earth. I resisted the return. I liked this place. I had been there so little time, but already I could see that I was free to roam in so many directions that it was like having total access to the universe. After coming here, going, 51, back to Earth would be as confining as living on the head of a pin. Still, I was given no choice. This we ask of you. You must return to fulfill this mission, I said the being of light. And then I came back. 6. Coming back, I left the crystal city by fading into an atmosphere that was a rich blue-gray color. This was the same place I had gone when I was first struck by lightning, so I can only assume that it was the barrier we cross when we enter the spirit world. I came out of this atmosphere on my back. Slowly, and without effort, I was able to roll over. And when I did, I could see that I was floating above a hallway. Below me was a gurney with the body on it, covered with a sheet and lying still. The person underneath the sheet was dead. Around the corner and down the hall I heard an elevator open. I saw 2 orderlies in white outfits emerge from the elevator and walk toward the dead man. They were talking like two guys who had just left a pool hall, and one of them was smoking, blowing clouds of smoke toward the ceiling where I was hovering. I sensed that they were there to take the body to the morgue. Before they reached the dead man, my buddy Tommy came through the door and stationed himself next to 54, the gurney. It was then that I realized that the man underneath the sheet was me. I was dead. It was me, or what was left of me, who was about to be rolled off to the morgue. I could feel Tommy's TMS sadness that I was gone. He couldn't TMT let me go. As he stood there and stared at my body, I felt the love coming from him as he begged me to come back to life. By now, my entire family had arrived at the hospital, and I could feel their prayers, too. My parents, brother, and sister were sitting in the waiting room with Sandy. They didn't TMT know I was dead because their doctor didn't TMT have the heart to tell them. Instead, he said that I probably wasn't TMT going to last much longer. Love truly can give life, I thought, as I hovered in the hallway. Love can make the difference. As I focused on Tommy, I felt myself become denser. In the next instant, I was looking up at the sheet. This return to my human body put me in possession of its pain. I was on fire again, aching with the agony of being burned from the inside out, as though acid was in all of my cells. A ringing started in my ears that was so loud I thought I was inside a bell tower. My tongue had swelled and filled my mouth completely. On my body were blue lines crisscrossing me, marking the path the lightning had taken as it surged from my head to the floor. I couldn't TMT see them, but I could feel their burn. I couldn't TMT move, which is a bad state to be in when orderlies are coming to take you to the morgue. I tried to move, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't TMT, coming, bar, 55, CK, twitch a muscle. Finally, I did the only thing I could. I blew on the sheet. Ayo here TMS alive, here TMS alive. A shouted Tommy. Ayo look, yeah, I said one of the orderlies. He pulled back the sheet and there I was, my tongue lolling out of my mouth and my eyes rolling around. Suddenly I began to convulse like an epileptic having a grand mal seizure. The orderly who was smoking threw his cigarette to the floor and pushed me back into the emergency room. Ayo here TMS still alive, ayo, he shouted. The doctors and nurses sprang into action. They worked on me for another 30 minutes. One doctor shouted orders, and the nurses followed them. In rapid succession they stuck needles in my arms, my neck, and my heart. Someone put the paddles back onto my chest, but I don't TMT remember feeling any electricity, so perhaps they were just trying to monitor my heart rate. Someone stuck something into my mouth. Someone else held my eyes open and looked at them with a flashlight. Through all of this, I wished I were dead and back in the Crystal City, where there was no pain and knowledge flowed freely. But I couldn't TMT go back. As the medicines worked their magic, I began to feel as though I was really in the room. I couldn't TMT see well, and the bright lights over my head burned my eyes so badly that I cried out to have them turned off. But I was back in the real world to stay. When they were finished in emergency, I was rolled into a small side room. This room had a curtain on it instead of a door and was apparently used when patients, 56, were ready to be transferred from the emergency room to the intensive care unit. The doctor gave me a shot of morphine and I was suddenly hovering above my body again, looking down as Tommy snuck into the room to be at my side. I watched as he looked through the drawers and cabinets, relying on his Navy medical training to determine the kind of work that was done in this room. Several days later, in slow, almost incoherent, speech, I told Tommy some of what had happened. Then I said, "Ayo, saw you rummaging through the shelves and drawers in that room. What were you doing?" Since I had been unconscious from morphine at the time, it shocked him that I was able to see what he had done, and convinced him that something truly extraordinary had occurred when I died. But that came later. For the first 7 days I was paralyzed. People sat with me in my room, but I couldn't TMT embrace them. Friends and family spoke to me, but I could return only a few words. Sometimes I was aware of people being in the room, but I did not EMT know who they were or why they were there. Sometimes I was not EMT even aware that those things in the room were people.